Well, if you're a young person this morning, Miss Carol's going to head downstairs, and we would invite you to follow them on downstairs. They have a good time learning God's Word. I believe it's fifth grade to kindergarten, I believe. I'm not getting anybody objecting to that, so. Okay, very good. So I invite you to head on downstairs for that. And looking forward to a good time there. All right, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Some of you may say, wait a minute, we were in John 13 last week. I know. We're skipping around so we can possibly get to the resurrection on Easter Sunday. So that's the reason why we're doing this. So there are other chapters in there that are good as well. I know that. But for the sake of this study, we are going to look at John 15 this morning. And it is certainly a wonderful thing to have the opportunity to preach and teach the truth of God's Word like we do. I'm not going to read the whole chapter this morning, because we're going to spend almost all of our time in the first half of the chapter. So if you have John chapter 15, that's page 1658 if you're using one of the Pew Bibles there in front of you. And we certainly do invite you to do that, 1658 there in those Pew Bibles. And hopefully that will be a help to you as you look and study. John chapter 15, in verse 1 says this, "I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone abides not in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that you should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." All right, and so as you can see, we're going to spend some time here looking at this, and the title this morning is we're talking about cross life, bearing branches that are bearing fruit. Branches that are bearing fruit. A lot of things to discuss in this passage. Let's get right into it. You'll notice, first of all, the relationship. There's a relationship that is described in this passage for us to understand the context of what the Lord is saying here in this text. And so we get right into it. And you'll notice that, first of all, Jesus is the vine. And it tells in verse number 1, he says, Jesus talking, "I am the true vine." Verse 5, he says, "I am the vine." So we understand now from this very simple illustration that Jesus is saying that I am the vine, and then he describes the fact that God the Father is the vine dresser. Look at verse 1. He says, my father is the vine dresser. So we're looking at, if you will, a garden type of situation, looking at vines and branches. And he says, my father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is the one who takes care of, provides, who makes sure that the branches are producing fruit. Make sure that everything is healthy, the soil is good to go. We're heading towards planting season. Anybody plant anything yet? My dad's waiting to get the potatoes in. He says, if it just dries out a little, we'll get them in there. I said, all right, that sounds good to me. I'm a big mashed potato fan, so let's get those things in the ground soon, you know. And we got to get the ground ready, correct? Well, the vine dresser is that one. And this passage tells us, my father is the vine dresser. So God the Father is the vine dresser. All right, and then we see, it describes in verse 5, that you and me, we are the branches. We are the branches. So just right off the bat, you understand then that if we are the branches and we are in the vine, Jesus Christ is the vine, that we are not the source of strength. Jesus is. Jesus is the source of our strength. Now we have to understand that, because if we don't understand it, then what we think is this, then we think that the fruit that comes is from us. But that's not so. Because if the source of strength is not from us, then it's not our fruit, it's the Lord's fruit. The vine dresser who takes care of us and cares for us, and then the source of strength that comes from the God the Father through Jesus Christ into us produces that fruit. So as a result, we see then that Jesus is the vine. God, the Father, is the vine dresser. We are the branches. Well, that then brings us to number two, branch management. I don't mean branch management like, you know, the bank, the local bank. I want to see the manager. You know, anybody done that before? Anybody gone to the store before and say, I need to see your manager? Have you done that before? Yes, we've all done that before. Everybody ordered a sandwich before at a restaurant and you didn't get what you want and the waitress is like, well, I can't help you. Let me see the manager, all right? Okay. Why? I want to get to the management to figure out what on earth is going on here. Well, here we are with branch management. You'll notice in verse 2 it says this. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So immediately it tells us if there's no fruit, the branch is removed. Now, we're talking here to those that already know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is a passage for someone that, in verse number 8, it says, so you will be my disciples. You see that last phrase in verse 8? It's talking to those that already have committed their lives to Christ. So if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we are directly talking to you. If you don't know Christ, your Savior, I encourage you to get in the vine, get in Jesus Christ, to become a branch, to produce fruit. So understand this, Christian, if we're not producing fruit, then we have a problem. You see, I remember now, just for those of you that are visiting today, I don't do gardens, don't know much about that kind of stuff. Okay? My dad does it, we eat it. Yay, Dad. I told my dad last week, Dad, plant an extra row of potatoes just for us. He's like, all right. I guess I can do that. Awesome. We'll come and pick them. That'd be great, you know. I don't know much about it, but I know this. I know from the people that my dad talks to and some of you as well that if you've got a fruit tree and it's got problems with some of the branches, they're dying, you don't just leave them there for ornaments. You get rid of it because it doesn't do any good. The purpose of a branch is to produce fruit. The purpose of a believer in Jesus Christ is to produce fruit. Friends, let me encourage you this morning. As a believer in Jesus Christ, it shouldn't be a surprise that we produce fruit. It should be natural that we produce fruit. Few months back, I guess it was February, we had missionaries come to stay with us. They were supposed to be here in our evening service, but we had snow and it was a mess, and we didn't have our evening service. And so the Vinces came, and they live somewhere in southern Florida, and they have a grapefruit tree? They have a grapefruit tree, and they said, the grapefruit off our tree is phenomenal. But there's one problem. What's the problem? He said, we can't even eat it all. We can't even give it away. He said, there is so much fruit, we can't even give it all away. I'm like, oh, put it in a box. Mail it here. Please. We'll give it away, you know. He's like, I'm telling you, is we eat all we can, we give it away. And everybody's like, oh, no more grapefruit. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. You know, we're squeezing them out for grapefruit, you know. And so, you know, that tree apparently is abundant in its fruit. That's the way we should be as believers. We should be abundant in our fruit. This first point tells us if that branch isn't producing fruit, it's going to be removed, taken away. Now you'll notice the next thought is this, then, is that if there is fruit, great. No pain. No, not true. Then pruning takes place. You see, it tells us, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's so that the other branches can be more healthy. And then it says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. What? Wait a minute, what? Now, you're telling me if there's actually fruit that's going to be cut back more? Why? It tells us why. That it may bear more fruit. Understand that as a believer in Jesus Christ, this passage is telling us that there's no comfort zone. It's easy to become comfortable in certain places. I'm good doing this. I'm comfortable here. I'm okay with this. But the Word of God tells us, all right, there's no fruit, taking that branch away. If there is fruit, I'm going to cut it back to produce more fruit. And sometimes that cutting back can be hard. What does that mean exactly? Well, maybe it is something in our own lives that is distracting us from our walk with Jesus Christ. It could be anything. I can't speak for you, but you understand, as I'm having this discussion, some things may pop into your heart and mind that the Holy Spirit places there. Maybe there's something that just distracts you from bearing the fruit that should be born, and as a result, the Lord says, that needs to be getting rid of. That needs to be cut back so that there can be more fruit produced. It could be anything. It could be viewing habits. It could be how we spend our time, how we spend our money. It could be where we go, when we go. It could be anything. It could be relationships. I don't know. You do. The Lord knows. But there's going to be pruning that takes place so that we are able to bear more fruit. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready and willing for the Lord to prune you? Not going to be comfortable. May not be easy. But are we willing and prepared to bear more fruit for Christ? You'll notice in verse 4 it says, abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides. Unless it abides. Well, the question then comes, well, what is fruit? Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Again, if you're using a Pew Bible, that would be page 1,789. 1,789. In Galatians chapter 5, what is fruit? Galatians 5 describes to us what fruit is. He says, abide in me and I in you. What is this fruit? It's page 1,789 if you're in the Pew Bible. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now notice right off the bat, it doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. Believer, let me just, this is convicting to me. This doesn't mean you have a couple of them. We are to have all of them. Now, certainly, we may be stronger in some areas than others. But we are to have all of these. This is not multiple choice. My teachers always called it multiple guests, but that's for another story for another day. This is not multiple choice. Oh, I like that one. I'll pick that one. No, this is the fruit that we are to bear. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's nine things there. Now, this is not a message on what those things specifically are. We'll get into those maybe down the road. But there is the fruit of the Spirit. And it tells us, here are some things in your life that should be evident as a growing believer. Here are some things in our life that should be a proof, if you will, that we are branches that are abiding in the vine. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you are abiding in Christ, and you are growing in Him, great. Then there should be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And then it tells us in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. We put to death our flesh with passion, with its passions and desires. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. It's another way of saying abide from John 15, abide in Christ. So, Galatians 5 then defines for us what this fruit actually is. Let me again encourage you. We need to ask God to help develop these things. Well, Pastor Chris, why? Why develop those things? Because these are evidences that we're not living in the flesh anymore. These are evidences that Jesus Christ has made a difference in us. These, if you will, are the fundamentals to showing that there's been new life in us. I keep seeing pictures on Facebook from my friends down south. What is that in the front yard? Those are flowers. Whoa. You have forsythia blooming already? You gotta be kidding me. That's pretty. And the other day I actually saw a bud on a tree in my front yard. I said, look, new life is coming. You all know I love winter, but it's supposed to be spring now, right? Jolene, we talk about it all the time. Where in the world is it, right? It's coming. Come on, let's see some color out there, right? And we love to see the new life of spring. It's an evidence of spring. Guess what, believer? There should be continual evidence of the new life in Jesus Christ in your life everywhere. Everywhere should be evidence of it. Let me again ask you a question. You're abiding in Christ. Is there fruit? Are you willing to be pruned? Is there evidence of this in your life through the fruit of the Spirit that's so evident to us in Galatians chapter 5? Maybe there's an area as you read that you go, ooh, that's a tough one for me. Then let's ask God, Lord, help me in this area that I can be evidence of you to others. See, when I walk in, I'm not a garden person, I'm not a big garden person, but when I walk through and see flowers, I am amazed at the majesty and the color and the preciseness. And I remember, God is the Creator. He is worthy of praise. He is willing to just show us some beauty and glory in a garden of all places and remind me that He is in control and is able to create beautiful things for us to enjoy. It's evidence. And if I was to have a whatever kind of fruit tree, I wouldn't want a fruit tree just to look at. I want the fruit from it. We love making homemade applesauce. I don't go to an apple orchard and say, hey, you got apple trees? Yeah. Where's the one with no apples on it? I want to see that tree. No. Show me the apples. And lots of them. One year we bought, 4 bushels of apples? We had apples coming out of our ears. You would park the car in the driveway and get out. You could smell apples from our house. They're everywhere. We had a pot on all the time, just simmering apples. You know, they were all over the place. We had applesauce frozen everywhere. You know, it was just freezing this place and that place. We had all over the place. Okay, I didn't go to the orchard and say, "Hey, are you out of apples? Do your trees produce lousy fruit? Because I would love that apple." No. Can I see your apples, please? Sure, they're right here. Do you guys produce these? Yes, we did. How do they taste? Go ahead and taste one. Great, I will. That's a good apple. Taste this, Anya. Yeah, it is good. Let's get those. Why? It was good fruit. Hey, believer, if we are producing fruit for Christ, we may be the only evidence someone sees of Jesus. The fruit is not for someone to say, "Wow, look at that branch." It's to say, "Wow, look at the vine dresser. Who's the vine dresser of this orchard?" Well, we know from our first verse, the vine dresser is the Father. It's pointing back to the Father. The fruit that we produce is not intended for people to say, "Wow, look at that Christian. He's a good Christian." No, no. That's not what this passage tells us. The fruit is so that we can be proven that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. It points people to Him. So the question is, what kind of fruit are we bearing? The tree, the branch that's pruned is to produce more fruit. Well, how does then this branch stay healthy? Number three, how does this branch stay healthy? You'll notice, if you want to count this on your own, you can, but in the first 10 verses, the word abide is used 7 times in the first 10 verses. And the word abide refers to a permanent dwelling. It tells us, I read it about, abide in the vine, verse 4. Now, again, I'm telling you these things from other people, but there's a possibility of taking a branch and grafting it. That's a lengthy process. When that happens, they are inseparable. If we are abiding in Jesus Christ, we should be inseparable. It is a permanent place. Remember, talking about my position in Christ, I am kept by the power of Him. If you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, my eternal security is unquestioned. I am His. He is mine. I am an heir of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. I don't have to wonder. Well, I wonder if. No, I know that I am in Christ. And I rest in that. It is easy to rest in that place. It tells us, abide. And it continues to say that in this passage. Abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. Verse 4 continues, unless it abides in the vine, unless you abide in me. It continues in verse 9, as I have loved you, here it is, abide in my love. You will abide in my love. End of the verse, abide in his love. You get the idea. Just continually impressing upon us to abide in him. Here's the danger though. Remember in verse 2, that branch that's chucked? The branch that's chucked isn't abiding in him. It's abiding in all other kinds of things. Can you imagine if you were to take, again, I only know a little bit about apple trees because I like applesauce, but if you take an apple tree and don't take care of it, plant it in the wrong place, don't prune it, just leave it, it's not going to produce good fruit from what I've been told and have seen. It's going to be a waste of what it's supposed to do. The potential that it should reach will never be reached. Hey, believer, do you see how that applies to you and me? Because of the fact that we have been saved by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, we have tremendous potential to bear tremendous abounding fruit for Him. If we are abiding in the right things. If we are all over the place, we're not in His Word, and we're not in fellowship with Him, and we're just kind of feeding off the world, so to speak, guess what happens? Then we're not very healthy, and we can't produce very healthy fruit. If you take a fruit tree and make sure it doesn't get any sun, it's going to be a disaster, isn't it? It's got to have light. Don't water it. Let it parch. It's going to die. Am I right? Okay, so you look at me like, come on now, okay? It's not going to do so well, is it? That's the same for you and for me. Now, let me just say this. I'm thrilled that you're here worshiping with us today. But you can't feed once a week. If you think, well, went to church, appreciate pastor's message, that was good. I can't wait till next week. I'm glad you can't wait. But be in His Word tomorrow, too. Be in it again on Tuesday. Ask the Lord to sustain you on Wednesday. Ask the Lord to guide you on Thursday. Ask God on Friday to direct your steps. On Saturday, ask God to prepare you for the preaching on Sunday. And Sunday morning, wake up and say, Lord, I can't wait to fellowship with your people again today and worship you today in His Word. And then do it again on Monday. What are we doing? We're continuing to feed and grow. Psalm 100 talks about that and describes, Psalm 23, I'm sorry, describes how He prepares the table before those sheep. That is the Lord spreading open His Word and saying, feed here. This is healthy. This is good for you. You know, some of those folks that we admire when it's Olympic time, or some professional athletes, especially the ones who have to cut weight for different sports, they are so careful with what they put in their body. They know exactly how much water, how much protein, they know it's a science. It's literally a science. And they're careful. Why? Because they want to have the best possible outcome with their body that they can. I mean, best possible. You know, spiritually, that's no different for you and for me. What are we feeding on? If all we feed on is, if you will, the junk food of the world, then we're not going to have very healthy spiritual fruit. It's impossible. It's just not possible. It's not possible for us to feed on the junk food of the world and then have healthy, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, we can't have a very healthy, if you will, love and very healthy joy and very healthy peace and long-suffering. It's not possible because we've filled up on the garbage that the world has to offer. So that means that maybe some of the pruning in our lives has to be what we're even feeding off of. And we have to guide and to guard those things. What? Why? Because we want to abide in Him. We want to produce fruit that points people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to serve Him. So we see it tells us, abide. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, if you say, well, Pastor, what's the key verses here? I'd say verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. A few things. First of all, it doesn't say if, doesn't say might. It's just a statement. Bears much fruit. So, if we're not bearing this fruit, in Galatians 5, the problem's here. The source of strength is perfect. Jesus never fails. His blood is perfect. The problem's not with the source. The problem is with the branch abiding. But then it says this in verse 5. It says, bears much fruit, semicolon. Then it says, for without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You say, well, you know, Pastor, so-and-so mentioned this to me about serving in this. I can't do that. Perfect. We can do nothing. Through Christ, we can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus is our source of strength. Jesus is our source of strength. It's not as if I'm going to say, sure, I can do this and I can do that. And I can. No, no, no. It's only through Him. You see, what it does is it forces us to be dependent upon Him. Because when we're dependent upon Him, what happens is we say, Lord, I need You. And as a servant, that's the way it should be. I am His servant. Lord, whatever You have me to do, I'll do it. I'm depending upon You for this. I'm trusting in You for this. And then what happens is we're forced to abide in Him. And then as we abide in Him, then there's pruning that takes place. And then we're bearing much fruit, reminded that fruit's not from me, it's from Him, because I can do nothing on my own. Then we begin to really realize just how great the vine dresser, how great our God really is. And how weak on my own I really am. Lord, I need You. You see, because of the fact that we live in our society that we do, we have whatever we want, whenever we need, however. It's easy. You know, you go home and turn on the oven, you got fire. Or, well, if it's electric, you got a burn. My kid just finished taking a class over in Mount Gilead, how to survive in the woods, you know. And they took it the last, like, 7 weeks on Friday afternoons, and they had to make fire. She said, all right. And she taught them what they had to get as far as fuels were concerned and how to feed a baby fire and that kind of stuff and how to start one with a, you know, flint and a knife. And they realized some of those days were snowy and wet. That was fun. You know, they're trudging through the snow, trying to get grasses away and trying to make the little piles right and make a little space and get the char cloth. And boy, they're laying on the ground trying to get one little itty-bitty ember. And there it is. Hurry, feed it, blow. And man, there's a big pile of smoke and no flames. And boy, there's flame. And you know, they start putting a little bit, you know, piece of little stick on there and feeding it slow. Yes, we did it. You know, and the one day we were supposed to have this big camp, we're going to just cook out. But they had to make the fire. And it was wet. We're staying there while they're making it. I feel myself stinking in the mud as they're doing it, you know. And it took them over a half an hour to get a flame for us to cook on. This was after they collected all the stuff to actually put in the fire. It was wet. And they finally got this thing going. They're all blowing and they got it going, you know. We finally ate and it was like, that was for one meal. One little fire. Holy moly. That was hard. And we were talking and we were saying, do you realize how blessed we are? Just go home and hit a button. Fire. Real easy, you know. I was laughing because he had to do all that. He knows, like, oh, you know. And I say that to say this, is we are such a place of convenience that's how we almost treat God sometimes. Okay, I'll do it. There. Pulled that one off. Abide. Rely upon Him. Realize that this fruit is not just something that just appears. It is depending upon our Lord and Savior. It's not instant. And so we see this abiding. We can do nothing on our own. So, number four, why in the world did He tell us this? Why did He tell us this? Well, He answers that in verse 11. He says in verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He told us this so that our joy remains in us and is full. Well, what that means is this then. That means that if we're not producing the right kind of fruit, the joy of our Christian life is lacking. Now, there is a difference between joy and happiness. But I've met believers that are going through it. And you know what I mean by that? I mean, it's just one thing after another. And there is a joy in their countenance that's just hard to explain. They have a peace of God that is just unexplainable based upon their circumstances. We've read just a little bit about Pastor Saeed, the guy, the Iranian who's from America, who went back to visit family and he shared the gospel, and he's in jail and been in jail for over a year now, being persecuted for his faith. We've gotten a few letters back from him, his family has. And based upon just the brief readings that I've had from that, it's evident there is a joy in his life that is unfathomable and hard to explain unless you realize what we're talking about this morning, and that is he's abiding in Christ. And as we abide and as our fruit abounds, then guess what? Our joy remains. And if this doesn't remain, it's full. I don't know about you. If someone says, hey, do you want a full cup of water or just a little bit? I'll take all of it. I want the full cup, you know. Well, do you just want a small? No. I mean, I want it full. To the brim. Ever had a? I used to tease my wife one time. She said something about, I want to drink a water. So I filled it to where you could see the water on top, and if you moved it, she said she wanted it full. So I literally filled it to where if you move it, it's going to... Yeah. A friend of mine did this one to me one time. He filled it like that. He said, hey, put your hands on like this. Okay. He took the cup and put it like this. Top of my hands. He walked away. See ya. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And I'm trying to figure out how to get this without making a big mess, you know? What? Why? Because the cup was so full, you do anything, it's going to start pouring everywhere. All right? I want it full. And he tells us here, if you abide in me, my joy will be full. In fact, I can just picture it being overflowing. The point is that our joy should be such that it is contagious to others. Now, there's some things we don't want to be contagious, right? Keep your colds to yourself. There's some days when Jolene and I are downstairs in the office in the morning with the daycare that, you know, this winter, yeah, you know, kids get cold and they get stuffed. And we'll walk in, I'm like, so what's going on? How bad is it down here today, you know? Do I shake anybody's hands, right? You know, so it's like that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? And that happens. But there's other things. It should be contagious. And if we are abiding in Christ and we are bearing fruit, then as a result, our joy is going to remain in us. And on top of that, it's full. And I can just imagine this being an idea of it being contagious full. Hey, you got to hear this. Guess what God did for me this week? Man, has the Lord been good. I mean, listen, it is a great thing to proclaim what God has done for you. And that's just your joy just overflowing. I don't know about you. I need that. I'm encouraged when one of you comes and says, boy, you know what the Lord did this week? This was just good. Praise God for that. Now, how about we overflow not just on each other, but on all those we come in contact with so that our fruit abounds. It's like that grapefruit tree I mentioned with the Benzes, where it's just producing so much fruit. What in the world? We've hit the jackpot. Look at it all. And people should look at us and say, man, I remember them before they said they came to the Lord. And boy, they have love in their life and they're peaceful and they've been a lot more patient. There's some fruit of spirit. And it's just abounding. And people are noticing that. And people are seeing that the joy is just overflowing. Man, how did you do that? Oh, I can't do anything, but God's blessing me. You see how that all works together? If you're having a hard time, you're thinking, I don't know if I am or if I'm not a believer. I want to be a disciple, but I'm just not sure. Well, here are some basic principles. Abide in Him. Allow these fruits to abound so that your joy is in you, it remains, and it is full. Verse 17 gives another indication. It tells us, these things I command you. Why? That you love one another. We just discussed that a few weeks ago. I'm not going to get into that again this morning, but there's another key evidence, okay, that you love one another. I mentioned already verse number 8. Verse 8 where it says, you bear much fruit. Why? So you will be my disciples. There's evidence of that. It's continual evidence. You want full joy? Abide in Christ. You want to abide in Christ? Ask Him to help you bear fruit. Verse 16, here in our text, says this. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give to you. So go and bear fruit. As we bear much fruit, people will see the change in our life, and they'll want to know, where is this coming from? It's not coming from me. It's coming from my source of strength, Jesus Christ. He changed me. He's able to change you too. He's able to change the fruit that wasn't so lovely into tremendous fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and continuing on. Why? So that I can point people to the goodness of Jesus Christ. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Abide in Him. Bear much fruit. So that as we abide in Him, bear much fruit, that our joy is evident. It remains, and it's full. Let me ask you this morning. Is your joy remaining in you? Is it full? Oh, that we would have full joy in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You for the truths that are evidenced in Your Word. Father, I pray that You would stir us this morning. We want to be a people that bear much fruit, that are willing to be pruned. We want to be a people that abide in You. We want to be a people that our joy is remaining and it's full for You. Father, please challenge our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you say, Pastor Chris, this morning the Lord spoke to me through His Word in some fashion or some area. Would you please pray for me? Just slip your hand up quietly. Yes, several hands. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I pray that You would challenge us and speak to us in this invitation time. If our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you're welcome to come to our altar and pray. You're welcome to pray in your seat. But let us ask God to help us bear much fruit for Him. Let us ask God to be dependent upon Him. Let us ask God to that our joy would be full and remaining for Him.